And we're going to look at God's word. We're going to look at Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And as we get ready to look at this, I just want to tell you a little backstory on it. This is about, and some of you know this, like the back of your hand. And maybe others of you don't know who Peter and John were. And so I'm going to just talk to all of us like we don't know. And I pray it'll be the most inspiring story that we'll just be so encouraged to be reminded or to hear that Jesus chose unlikely people. Jesus chose Peter and John to come and be followers of his, to be his disciples. These weren't like the academic, you know, who's who. They weren't the valedictorians of any academy or classes. They were fishermen. They were average folks. And they had a past. And you know what? Jesus chose them. He chooses average people to do amazing things. So Peter and John followed Jesus. And when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, Peter, who they said was just really very rambunctious and bold, and he says, I'll go with you and, you know, this kind of thing. And Jesus says, you're going to deny me. No, you know, I'm brave, I'm bold. And he denies him three times. He was a coward when it came to life and death, and like he might get killed because Jesus was looking like was going to get killed, right? And yet Jesus forgave him. Some of us have made mistakes. We've said, I'll never forsake you. I'll follow you. I'll do the things that you ask me to do. And yet we've fallen short. Haven't you fallen short of your promises to God? Yeah. But what does Jesus do? Before he ascends, he reinstates Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? And I think the Lord asks us today, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Take something that would be spiritually nourishing and give it to somebody else. Take the gospel and feed my sheep. Who are those sheep? He talks in metaphors. It's the people over here, the people that live here. It's the people that you work with. It's the people in your families. It's the people that you meet in the grocery store and on the airplane and wherever you might go. And he's saying, give them something from me. Feed them. He said to the disciples before he left, all right, go and make disciples, teaching them everything I've taught you. But before you go, wait until you've been clothed with power from on high. There's something that you need beyond just the doctrinal knowing and the experiences that you've had. You need the gift of the Holy Spirit that the Father has promised. The gift that the Father has promised was available for these disciples, and they waited. Now, they had already received the Holy Spirit in John when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, again, he teaches in word pictures. This is why we're worried about transmission of contagions, because if I breathe, what do? You breathe in, and that starts to impact you. Well, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit, and they breathe in. And they receive the Holy Spirit on the inside, and that starts to change their character because Jesus just moved in residence. But Mary, as you were talking about, he also needs to be the throne of our life, the king of our life. And he says, the king of the life, king of our lives, he gets to be in the front seat of the, well, let's just use the motorcycle. I like that quite well. The motorcycle, he's the driver, and we're riding on the back, and we're holding on. There's a role that he plays. He leads and he guides, but we need to choose to go along with him. And so they wait until they've been clothed with power from on high. And do you remember at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Lord gave them the ability, and they were praising God, and they were so full of joy that people thought they were drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. God and his kingdom, he is a joyful God. And his kingdom is marvelous. And so they just get their eyes open to, like, this goodness of God. He has sent this gift, the very Holy Spirit that is going to empower us, that's going to clothe us. They already had the Holy Spirit within that had started to work in changing their character, so that they were acting more and more like the kind, loving, truthful Jesus, the righteous Jesus, the one that was very concerned about justice. And now they've received the empowering work of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes on them. And so they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's, remember, it's an episodic. It's a coming on for a particular action, and then lifts, and then again, we can be filled again and again. Well, this is what has happened to Peter, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. Then we find that he is here, and I'm getting ready to read this in a minute, but I'm telling you the background. This is a little bit of a long background, but I'm trying to summarize multiple chapters here. And so Peter and John, they go out, and they're letting God be the leader of them. And one morning they get to the temple, and there's this person that's crippled and needs to be healed. And they heal that person because they saw. Heather, you opened the door and you saw, and you had compassion, and you wanted to give. You were asking the Lord, what do you want me to give? Well, that day they were looking at this crippled person and said, what do you want me to give? Healing. And then instead of everybody celebrating this, I mean, people were like amazed. But what do the religious leaders do? They get intimidated by this. Like, we don't have this power. There's nothing more. There's nothing more. But there is. And so it's being demonstrated that God is living King and Jesus is ascended on his throne. And so what happens? These religious leaders pull John and Peter, and it was so serious that they put him in jail overnight. Well, the reason we know it's so serious is this was a life and death situation, and they had to judge those during the daylight. And so because they couldn't at 4 o'clock in the afternoon judge this because it was so serious, it was life and death, they put them in jail overnight. So all night long, they know we're facing the potential of a death sentence here. And what do? They preach. They preach boldly to the people. And God added, it went up to 5,000 people believed their words. And then they're in jail overnight. And then they get pulled in front of the religious leaders. And the religious leaders are just absolutely shocked. I think they were just like, they don't know what to do. And scripture tells us they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to punish them because they did an undeniable miracle. This person had been crippled for 40 years. That meant like this was a, like there is no possible way that anything could happen and be changed. And yet this person was up and walking. Undeniable miracle. And so they say, whose name did you do this in? And they're like, you know, we did it in Jesus' name. And they're like, don't do that anymore. Don't even think about it. Don't talk about this. And they say, we have to testify. We have to testify about what we've seen and heard. Friends, that's not Peter denying Jesus three times. Peter, who was, I'm just going to say an impulsive coward. Lord, forgive me if I just insulted or dishonored Peter. But this was the way he acted before he was empowered. And now he's standing there, and he just spent the night wondering about his destiny. And he says, I can't help but testify about what I've seen and heard. Because it's true. And there's hope in it. And there's hope for the world in it. And I've got 5,000 people that are believing this, and I cannot shut my mouth. I will not shut my mouth. He was facing such pressure, and yet they were so bold. And so they just spent some more time, the leaders, telling them, don't do this anymore, and making a lot of threats. And then they release them. So this is where we pick up. All right? Acts 4:23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When these group of people heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed with the Holy Spirit. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And if we were to keep reading, we would see how the signs and the wonders and the healings also were answered. The Holy Spirit came and gave them boldness. The Holy Spirit came and did signs and wonders and miracles. They were filled again as they prayed. These were men who loved God. These were men who had watched Jesus lay his life down to make a way for us to be restored. And they were so compelled by the love of God that after being threatened with their very lives, they came back, told people what they were threatened about, and what did all the people do? They start to pray. Why do they start to pray? Because they're, if you notice, they're not praying about where should we go into hiding. Save us, protect us, protect us. Oh, oh, oh. There was no fear. They start remembering who Creator God is. When I read this, I'm like, this seems a little random that they just start praying about being the creator of heaven and earth. They're reminding themselves and they're speaking the truth over themselves and up to God. You are creator. There is nothing that hasn't been created by you. You're God of everything. You are sovereign. Even your enemies, like, you are sovereign. They thought they were pulling something on you. No. Jesus came to, this was actually the plan of redemption that you just helped implement. They remember who God is, and then they ask, do it again. Do it again. Give us more boldness. Do more healings. Do wonders. Do signs. Do things that will make people take note that there is a living God. And it comes. It comes. He comes. As we lay down our lives and we just say, fill us. Use us. I surrender all. I surrender all because you're so good to me and you've got so much good for the world. This is life-changing. If you're living a boring Christian life, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about surrendering your life. Mary shared her story. You've heard a bit of my story. I was scared. I was young. I was a Christian. And I could hardly talk. I was so an introvert and very afraid of people and rejection and all kinds of things. And I had anxiety and I had depression in my 20s. Why is it? How is it that I could be a pastor and be used and be a conference speaker and write things? How is it? How's that possible? God endows me with things from his kingdom. He gives me words. Pastor Dave shared a story last week. I don't walk around having visions of little boys swimming in the swimming pools when it's wintertime and snowing. Like, I don't walk around resident with these things in me, his gifts in me. I walk around going, God, what are you doing? And what are we doing today? I really don't like motorcycles. They still make me nervous. I was an orthopedic nurse for a while. But you know what? I used to not be able to fly. And when I got on a plane, and this is probably too much information, but it used to be when they gave out alcohol, those little bottles, to anybody that was able to have a ticket. And anyway, I was so scared. Like, I would hang on to the handrails, and I'd pray, and I'd also drink those little bottles to try to be able to just get to where I need to go. So when I had this revelation that God said, you're going to speak to the nations, and you're going to lay hands on people, and their hair texture and color is going to be all different, and their skin colors are going to be all different, I was terrified. I was terrified because I'm like, that's going to mean I've got to fly. You all just don't even know. But you know what? He's helped me. Every time he's asked me to do something, even preaching, he's helped me. He gives me what I need. Why? Is it because I'm so special? Well, I am, because he loves me. But you know what? It's because you're so special. And because the world is so special. And he wants to take the good news and use each of us to give the good news. I want to tell you about something that happened about a year and a half ago. I think I've told this story before about a man that was in his 80s. And he made this beautiful wooden bowl, and I bought it from him for Dane's Christmas present while I was in Florida. And so he brought it over on a golf cart, and we talked. And as we talked, I just had this sense like, I don't know that he's going to live very much longer. Does he know Jesus? And so the whole time that he's talking to me about the kind of trees and how the woodworking goes and turning the bowls and all that, I'm like, does he know Jesus? Does he know Jesus? How can I turn this conversation towards a spiritual conversation? And I kept praying and watching and waiting and trying. And anyway, and he's getting ready to get into his golf cart. And I'm like, Lord, please help. And all of a sudden, I just get these words. And I go, I just blurred out, God bless you. Like, you know, it seemed kind of random and like just boom. But it was like, it was just like the pressure was building in me. Like, he's got to know Jesus. I got to make sure. And anyway, and he stopped what he was doing and he turned and he goes, well, God bless you too. And he looked me in the eye and I thought, okay, we're on. I've got a connection. And anyway, and so I just started to talk to him. Oh, do you have faith beliefs? Oh, you've grown up in the Catholic Church. Well, tell me about that. And then I say, you know, I talk about we're saved by faith, and, you know, it's grace alone, by faith alone. It's not by works so that nobody can boast. Oh, he believes that. He knows about Jesus. Yes, he loves Jesus. Jesus is his Savior. We have this beautiful conversation, and then he leaves. And I was like, thank you, Lord. You know what? In March of this year, he was 90, and all of a sudden I saw a picture of him and found out that he had been killed, that he had an accident while he was driving with a train and was killed immediately on impact. And I read his obituary, and I was like, thank you, God, that I can read his obituary. What's the chances that I'm going to read the obituary of somebody that lives in Ohio that I met down in Florida that did woodworking for Dane? You know? But the Lord let me see that obituary, and I had such joy because I knew that I had been faithful to what God was asking me to do, even though it took courage. And it took, like, it really, I had to have the download of even words what to say, because he's moving to get on his go-kart. And I just like, God bless you. You know, I'm so glad. When we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we won't have regrets. But if we don't cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we may very well have regrets. And I think about this, like in my mind, I'm a visual learner, and I picture like this whole, like all these spiritual gifts, all this authority, all these words of knowledge and wisdom and healings and miracles that are in this storehouse in heaven waiting to be drawn on. And I think, what a waste if we have this inheritance and we never pull from it. And the Lord said, just wait till you've been clothed with on high, and then be filled with the Holy Spirit repeatedly every day. What are we doing, God? Please prepare me, equip me. And then we go about our day, and as the Holy Spirit gives us that prompt, we pay attention. I thought about it just when I was in the plane this past week, and there's a whole long line, and the plane is completely full, no empty seats, and people are waiting, you know, like to get seated, and we were some of the last ones to board. And I thought, what if right now God asked me to preach the gospel? So I'm looking around the plane, and I'm like, Lord, are you? I'm willing, but you are definitely going to have to give it. And anyway, and I felt like he was just saying, no, but you need to be prepared. How are we prepared? Every day, living on task, living on mission. And there's so many ways that we can be, that can we grow and nurture. And we see that in this passage of Scripture. And I think that I just want to say a couple, I want to point out a couple. That they were living on mission, that they were relying on community, so that as they came and went each day, they were sharing their days together, and they were praying together. They were acknowledging God as the King, Sovereign One, the Creator. They weren't being afraid because they put their eyes back on who they're serving. And then they say, fill me again. Give me boldness. Give me courage. Do signs. Do wonders. You all are going to be going places. This week, next month, in 10 years, you're going to be going places. Are you going to be those that made one withdrawal and then left the whole, you know, like all that storehouse of what the Lord has to give? Are you going to let it just sit there? Or are you going to be ones that day by day say, I surrender all, fill me again with your Holy Spirit, give me everything I need, and then just step forth and do whatever it is that God has in front of you. Watch what God's doing and join in there.